Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
This is Morning Edition on AM 580, and it's time now for our opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, March wheat opened at 510.5, down 1 on the open May, 519 unchanged. At the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 490, up a half on the open May, 502 unchanged. July, 510 down 1.5, September, 516 down 1, December, 525 down 2 on the open. March corn opened at 433, down 1.5 on the open May, 446.5 down 1, July, 455 down 2, September, 440 down 1, December, 427 down 1, March, 432 down 2 on the open. March beans opened at 782, down 2 on the open May, $8 down a half, July, 813.5 down 2, August, 821 unchanged, September, 826.5 up 1, November, 836.5 down 1.5 on the open. March soybean meal opened at 231.20, down 20 on the open May, 238.10 unchanged. March soybean oil opened at 30.27, down 5 on the open May, 30.87 up 1. Over at the Merck, March feeders opened at 99.80, up 57.5 on the open. April, 101.50 up 27.5. May, 103 up 1, up 15. August, 103.25 up 2.5 on the open. February live cattle opened at 93, down 47.5 on the open. April, 96.20 down 2.5. July, June, 93.70 down 22.5. August, 90.90 up 2.5 on the open. April lean hogs opened at 66.75, down 27.5 on the open. May, 76.40 down 35. June, 76.75 down 20. July, 76.65 down 37.5 on the open. And February pork bellies opened at 106.75, unchanged on the open.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Bunge North America in Danville. Bunge recognizes the importance of agricultural production to our society and economy and the role producers and processors play in providing food and feed to the world.
Be sure to join us next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington for our 2007 All-Day Agricultural Outlook Meeting. Registration gets underway at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. That's 7:30 Central. The opening remarks and the first panel kick off at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. We'll have panels on soybeans and cash grain, food, fuel, and feed, ethanol in the marketplace, agricultural weather, the corn, of course, and crop insurance tools that you can use. It's an all-day meeting at the Beef House in Covington next Tuesday. No advance registration is required. And the meeting itself is free. If you would like to eat at the Beef House next Tuesday, that cost is $8.75. Joining us now is one of the people who will be presenting at the Beef House. He'll be talking about corn. That is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. Excited for next week's meeting. It's always a fun meeting to go to, and a lot of people show up and from wide swath of the Corn Belt. It ought to be extra special this year.
We expect a huge crowd this year. We have seating for 300. We're just anticipating a large turnout. Let's go ahead and look at that corn market. It has been a dynamic 7 weeks, really, in this corn market, dating back to about 10 January, when prices, if you were looking at the D's, were way down at 354.5. Yesterday, of course, 429.5. Contract highs, I believe, almost every day this week thus far. Want to take a deep breath, Mike, and step back and ask you what your anticipations for next month are ahead of the planting intentions report.
That's a good question, because we've had another round where the wheat has primarily been the driver, we think, to this move higher. And we talked with you last week and Todd last week about the wheat being in the driver's seat this week, and that this 425 level could be attained if wheat was helping us, and it sure did, especially on a percentage basis. So taking that type of template back to last August, when the funds bought real hard in August, earlier than most of us thought they would buy. The wheat bottomed in August, and they jumped in the corn really quick. We thought maybe they'd wait a little bit longer into harvest, and they did not. And so if you take that template and say, okay, wheat led us up in August, it's helping do it again, the funds jumped the corn early. I guess our mindset would be, Dave, that between this March 1, March 2, Washington, D.C. meeting that the USDA puts on, where a lot's going to be talked about conservation and the farm bill and energy security and ethanol subsidies and things like that, and then the March prospective plannings report at the end of the month, I guess if I were a fund and I were in the same type of mindset I was last August, I might be popping the chute and bailing out of some of the longs that I had put on here during this time period before everybody got done talking, you know, by the end of March. So I guess our template is still the same. The outside markets and the wheat have led us up here. We think that it gets harder and harder to justify these prices, and you kind of have to feed the bull, especially in the soybeans, but to a lesser degree corn, as you get closer and closer to March, and especially as you get to the middle later part of the month.
Does the bullish breakout that we're seeing on the CRB change your tone in this at all?
It does, only in that the CRB is kind of a lagging indicator to us, that most of the fund-driven money is not really a CRB-driven money. I would say that it's a good lagging indicator, a confirming trend that it's going higher. I think the best thing I liked about this week, other than the wheat market, was the fact that the RBOB futures jumped after the CPI report. We've got March RBOB unleaded. That's the ethanol blend unleaded at $1.77 at NYMEX. That's got Des Moines, Iowa, rack price, 10% ethanol, trading over $1.90 right now a gallon. That's very, very profitable, whether you're a new plant getting under construction, or it's even more profitable if you've already been running a few years. And so those were the biggies for me, more than the CRB, day, because I think the wheat market and the RBOB ethanol rack price relationship are going to be better leading indicators to the corn market than maybe the CRB would be.
What are the folks from EFG saying about ideas that we might see another $30 to $50 billion committed this year from funds?
A lot of that has been done in the indexes. In fact, I talked to one of the principals there yesterday morning when I was doing a corn-on-corn meeting with a client and a group of people there, and tried to get fresh information from Chicago there. But most of the indexes did their business the first 3 weeks of January. Sounded like it took them a little longer than normal because they were increasing their funds. And remember, way back during January, a lot of folks were saying that they were not going to increase their funds. They're actually pulling money out. Well, it has come to pass that they actually did increase their funds. Now, the indexes are pretty much done now, we think, other than their typical roles. What's probably happening now, and again, the EFG folks have told us this as of yesterday, both the commercial short covering has happened in corn, as well as hedge fund, commodity trade fund money is coming into corn and also into beans. And they like the beans from a standpoint that to get an 8 or 9 cent rally in beans on a percentage basis is not hard to do, given the fact that the corn and the wheat are rallying so much on a percentage basis. You've got March corn up almost 4% this week, and March wheat up over 4.5%, whereas March beans is only up about 2% coming into this morning. On a flat price basis, so you're making just as much money, if not more, in beans. And so those hedge funds, commodity trading funds, see that as a really nice way to participate if they're not already in the crude or the corn market.
Looks like beans gave a little bit back this week in the ratio to corn, and I'm wondering whether or not you believe that traders ultimately will come back to 2-to-1.
Well, they probably will. It goes back to the South American harvest as a big, big supply issue. You know, the one thing the beans have on their side still that's very nice is the demand. The export sales today were very good again. We're still running about 29% ahead on total commitments year to date. I think maybe the one thing that's starting to pick up in the trade, and certainly the La Nina talk, that was probably one of the biggest catalysts that got wheat accelerated a lot late last week and on through this week, was this La Nina hot and dry thing. They're starting to price that into these markets right now. And when it comes back to the acreage, the La Nina will play out more for the corn, because we have to keep a certain amount of supply to not go down to theoretically zero carryover, Whereas beans, you have quite a bit of cushion, even if Mato Grosso's lost 10 to 15% of their crop, and that's some of the latest private estimates down there.
Want to throw a monkey wrench in this and ask you about the options expiration. Looks like in the wheat market there's lots of 480 puts still there.
Yeah, there are, and that's a big number right now, and that's probably where we're headed going into the close, especially if volume thins out. You know, our basic mindset whenever we have option expiration days is if the volume is lower and people are going home early because they've made good money during the other part of the week, then they'll probably go ahead and let the options be the leader, and that option expiration strike price be the leader, and gravity kind of takes effect. So it wouldn't surprise us all, especially, like I said, with wheat up over 4.5%, coming in today, export sales coming in about a little over 17 million bushels, puts us behind the eight ball again. Year-to-date commitments for wheat now down on exports 13% with a lot of the marketing year already in the past.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to WILL Urbana in the studio, Focus 580 host David Inge.